Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we're back with the last of our doctrine series. And this one is sure to be a great conversation. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
How are you?
How you doing, partner? You going full Texas on me?
I'm just embracing the Texas right now and the weather that is Texas.
Oh my gosh, the weather here. We're like covered in smoke from these wildfires in Canada. Like, it's nuts. They're saying people like don't spend any time outside. I think there was some statistic out there that if you spent 8 hours outside, it was like smoking 2 cigarettes. Like, that's how bad the air is. Mm. So that kind of stinks.
And yeah, I didn't even think of that affecting you, because I've seen a lot of my friends who live like up north or like the New York, Pennsylvania area, which I guess is not terribly far, but you cannot even really see the sky.
Right. It's not quite like out in the suburbs. It's not quite that bad. But so a few weeks ago when it was really bad in New York, we were kind of getting a little bit of that effect. But then just this week, like, it's been a noticeable haze. Like, you look outside and you're like, why is it foggy, but it's 1 p.m.? Like, this isn't normal. It's really crazy.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's not going to stop us from not going to the Reds game tomorrow night. I know. So we're going to suck it up and just go to the Reds game.
I love that for you. while you were enjoying the beautiful weather and probably the terrible air conditioning that you have, I'm dying in the heat here.
Yeah, it's like 110 there. Keep sending me pictures. You're like, this is terrible.
The legit temperature, not the...
Feels like...
Yeah, like the humidity is crazy. It's like it felt like 118. And I'm like, no.
It's been like in the 80s this week. Like, really, so far, our summer has been very, very pleasant so far, which has been really nice.
That is great.
You know what else is happening this weekend that is going to make the Reds game even crazier?
Mm.
Taylor Swift is in Cincinnati. Not only is Taylor Swift, so Saturday, there's going to be a Reds game. And then like a few blocks over is the football stadium where Taylor Swift is having her concert. Mm-hmm. And then a few blocks over from that is the professional soccer stadium that is also sold out for the Saturday night game, the FC Cincinnati game. So you have like 3 sold out events all within like blocks of each other in downtown.
I'm so
it's
glad
going
you're
to be nuts.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're a patient person. That sounds crazy to me.
We're going down tomorrow night, and people, I guess they have like this merch table or this merch, I don't know, bus or whatever that sets up beforehand for the Taylor Swift concert. People were camping out last night because it opened up at 10 a.m. today, if that gives you any idea. They're talking like 20,000 unticketed people will be downtown just to like
get merch,
stand outside of the stadium and hear the overflow music. Like, it's nuts. It's going to be crazy.
That is nuts. Well,
so we're braving that tomorrow.
Yeah. Report back. Let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know. You survive it.
But we're going to Reds game, so it's worth it. And they're doing well, so it's even more worth it.
You know, they are doing well. I think it all turned around when I went to the Cubs game. That's what happened.
That's exactly what it was. It wasn't it wasn't that they called up all the young guys. At all.
And
it was you.
That is your wedding gift for me.
Oh, thank you.
You and Matthew.
So kind.
Enjoy. Yeah. Also, on this note, can we talk about the Rangers for a second? When did they become good? There are 4 people. We have 4 that are going in the All-Star game as starters, which has never happened in franchise history.
Literally, like half an hour ago, Matt was just telling me about that. That, like, he's like, if you look at it, the All-Star game, they're like the starting shortstop, Texas Ranger, the starting this, Texas Ranger, and so starting this, Texas Ranger. Like, it's really nuts. So
that's wild. We're going to the Rangers Dodgers game with Johnny Rick's company in July. And so normally we're not Dodger fans, but normally I would not really look forward to that because it would not be a good game. But now I feel like it might be a competitive game. Might be pretty good.
Might be good.
Okay. We love baseball.
Yeah. Baseball. We can't devolve into baseball talk all the time.
Baseball aside, how's your reading plan going?
Reading plan is going really well. I'm keeping up to date. We are, as you all know, ending First Kings. You either finished it today, some are ahead, or we'll be finishing it when we're recording this tomorrow on Friday. Mm-hmm. Finishing up First Kings, and then we were just talking, we hop back into Psalms for a little bit and start Second Kings, and the Kings have been an interesting read. This First Kings book has been an interesting read. We were talking earlier before we started recording about how, you know, you read through and you're like, oh, okay, this king seems to be doing really well, and then not so much. Like, you keep going in the story and you're like, ah, oh, man,
he did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah. So over and over and over
again. Over and over. I'm still getting caught up from Europe. I only like 2 days behind though. So
hey, bad.
No, I can do it. I can do it in one sitting. I feel like my brain right now is just running in limited capacity. I've had a lot of writing deadlines. Yeah, exactly. So I've been in, you know, this episode right now is like the last things in new creation. So like eschatology and then consummation. And so we've been like preparing for that. And then I switch over and write like a kid's curriculum, you know,
kindergartner's curriculum.
Kindergarten. And then today I had first through fifth grade I was writing. And so my brain's like, I want to really absorb what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And that right now is just one day at a time for me. And I love that. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, I hope, you know, those of you that are following along with us, that you're continuing, it's still not too late to jump in. If you want to jump in the middle and just start reading the Bible with us, like, that's okay. Like, go on ahead and jump in. It's the Bible recap. It's on the, is it YouVersion? Is that the Bible app that we're using, YouVersion? Yep.
Just to say, like, we are almost halfway through the year now. We're getting into July.
Yeah.
We're still in the Old Testament. So we haven't even, right. You can jump in because we haven't even hit the New Testament yet.
Right.
So come join us.
But come join us, and we would love it. And for those that maybe started it and haven't been able to continue, hop back in. It's okay. We're like, we would love for you to hop back in and join us from there. If you want to go back and get caught up, that's great. If not, that's great too. Any time in the word is not wasted.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. I think I have just like one announcement, honestly, before we kind of
just like a church service where you have jump to have an announcement before
I have one announcement. All eyes on me, guys. We have, if you have not been to our website, we have updated our resource page with some books that we've enjoyed, some books that we think could be helpful in your journey. That is on there. And then also, we also have our statement of faith. So as we've been doing these doctrine series, everything that we've covered, we have defined purposely, and we've compiled those and have made like a little statement of faith for Growing Grace. So if you wonder where we stand on things, you'll find it on our website. It's under the About Us, like a little drop down. Mark did such a great job on that. It's a little drop down
Yep.
button. I don't know what you call it. button. And it will be our statement of faith and you can read it. Yeah. So if you're just curious, what do Shana and Kristen believe? You will find it there.
Or also,
and it's a really pretty website.
Yeah. Or also if you wanted to go back and we were like, oh, there was a definition that I really liked, or I want to look more into that. They're all going to be written out there, or they are all written out there, which will make it very easy. They're in our show notes as well, but I know those are not as convenient to get to as our website.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. You ready for this one?
I think so.
Before we jump in, I just want to say that this is a very technical, like a deep topic that has been debated for church ages, right? And yeah. So we are going to do a very high level cover of this. I don't know that I know where you land on this. So we're definitely not coming at it as like the two of us have. I can tell you where I'm leaning, where I feel comfortable with right now. But it should be a really good conversation. So we're going to dive in with eschatology, which just really means the study of last things or the end times. And we've combined it with the new creation. And so that's a really important doctrine, I think. So do you want to give us our statement of faith, our definition for the doctrine of last things / new creation?
Absolutely. So we would say that we believe Christ is coming again to judge the righteous and the unrighteous in making right what sin has made wrong and in bringing heaven to earth to restore the world fully for good and forever.
Yeah, that's a really, it's such a deep topic. So we try to condense it.
Right. And honestly, this is probably out of all of our doctrine, with the exception of probably union with Christ. But even that, I was a little bit more, not familiar, but had studied a little bit more. This is probably the one that I haven't studied nearly as much. So when you say, where do you land? I'm like, I honestly don't know, because it's been one of those things where I'm like, I know what I was taught growing up.
100%.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's correct, but I also don't know what is correct. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I land right now. Yeah. Because there's just been other things that I've been studying out. And it's something that I've said that I've wanted to study for a while. And hopefully I'll get to it soon.
Yeah.
So just to kind of,
we've combined my resources for this episode.
Yes, we have compiled resources. Yes. And I have, that's the thing, is I have read resources and read books and things like that. But I, and we'll mention this later on as well, I am trying as much as I can to not rely on books that people have written. They're very good and they're helpful, but that I'm studying scripture first. And seeing where that lands me, and then turning to books and resources and things like that to kind of help and guide a little bit.
Sure. I think that's our whole goal for Growing Grace. Yeah. Also, it's revelations, man. And that's not easy. And it's asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is truth, right? So it's not a quick process. I think one of the things that I was taught recently, because my views have changed from where I grew up believing, and I was like nerded out. So cards on the table about that, obviously, fundamentalism, I grew up, it was premillennial, right? And so my freshman year at BBC, we didn't have a TV. We could not have a TV. And so I read every single Left Behind book. That was like my entertainment, was the Left Behind books. And so I was like enthralled with it. And I sent you a picture, and I even think I posted it on our Growing Grace Instagram. I found I went out and bought a Tim LaHaye Prophecy Study Bible, King James Version. And so I was like, the whole Bible is premillennial with like all of these
I was gonna say
types.
What makes it like,
well, I was looking
that
through it,
specific
so
one,
I'm trying to find it. All the articles that are in here are all of how like everything points to Christ, but through a very dispensational lens. Mm-hmm. And so like the prophecies of Isaiah, the great white throne judgment, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the rapture, the Antichrist, like it's just all these different articles that are in it.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I kept it because you don't throw away Bibles. So I have that. But I do think that my position has changed on it. And who's to say where it'll be later on, right?
Right. Well, and it's something that, like you said, for many, many years has been debated. And so I think it's foolish of us to think that, oh, we've got it on lockdown and we're not 100% going to change. I think that's very prideful to say that, like, I will not change on this.
As with most of scripture, apart from the gospel.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's throw a definition out there before, because we're going to say this word a million times. First, I want to say that eschatology does not start in Revelation. Whenever you think of eschatology, we think of Revelation, right? Mm-hmm. And that is not where it starts. It starts in Genesis. It starts in Genesis 1:1. The entire Bible is pointing us to the telos, to the end. So from the moment of creation, the world is headed toward consummation. And so that's a really helpful lens, I think, to look through it. And then the word that we're going to use a lot is the millennium. Because the three positions that we're going to talk about are three millennium positions, really. And so basically when we say that, we mean it's the period of time described in Revelation when Christ will reign with his saints. So do you want to start this one off with our first few? And they're in an order for a reason. What is premillennialism? Did I even say that right? Premillennialism.
Yes, there you go. Absolutely. So before we jump into these, we are going to say, I think we've said this with almost every episode that we've done in our doctrine series, but specifically this one, we recognize that these, like what we're going to talk about here, it's not going to be exhaustive. There are a lot of different facets to it. This is just designed to be a brief kind of introduction or an overview into each position. Because as you get into each one, with some of them, they kind of branch out into other positions and thoughts and things that people disagree on within them. So the very first one, exactly. if you aren't familiar with that, spend about 2 seconds on Twitter and you'll see it rampant. Anyways.
Don't do it, guys.
That was for Shanna, because she texted me earlier this week and was like, oh my gosh, this is awful. Like, why did I do this? I was like, I know, you gotta stay away. Anyways. So the first position would be the premillennial position. And that's the one that I would say, if you are coming out of fundamentalism, that's probably the one that you're most familiar with. And that might be where a lot of you align with. It's what I was taught growing up. And this would be your Left Behind books, right? So the premillennial view on the end times is that we are existing prior to a millennial reign of Christ. It typically treats the millennial reign as a defined 1,000-year period that will occur, like a literal 1,000 years that will occur. In this view, there's a lot of different views. This is where we say, like, it fractures out. There's a lot of then different views about rapture. When is that going to happen? Tribulation, like, what does that define? When is that going to happen? The timing of everything is a lot of the crux of a lot of the issue is, when is this all going to happen? So you have, as you start studying this a little bit more, you're going to find terms like historic premillennialism or dispensation premillennialism. These are really hard words to say this late at night. But so you're going to find a lot of that. We specifically didn't, we wanted to give an overview, but the other two will probably delve in a little bit deeper, just because that's probably the ones that most people are not as familiar with. If you spent any amount of time in a fundamental Baptist church, you've heard mm-hmm. the premillennial position. Even if it wasn't taught that way, you have heard that position and are familiar with what end times are going to look like.
I know we have on here a poll that was recently taken, and so yeah. Which goes to show, I'm gonna read it, but it also goes to show that this is not only a fundamentalist view.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a poll that was taken by the National Association of Evangelicals, and it was basically, they polled like leaders, pastors, and professors, right? So it said 65% of evangelical leaders affirmed their belief in premillennialism. Oh my goodness. We didn't name
it's hard.
65%. 13% identified themselves as amillennial. What is happening?
Amillennialism.
And only 4% as postmillennial. It's the word millennial that's getting me.
Yes. So
65%.
It's because we're millennials.
There you go. It's 65% as premillennialism, 13% as amillennialist, and 4% as postmillennial. But that was only polling leaders, pastors, and professors. So if they would have mm-hmm. taken that poll and just polled like the average believer, the average evangelical believer, premillennialism would probably be much, much higher than what it is.
Yeah.
So while I do think people in fundamentalism like to really harp on the end times and on, to be very honest with you, a lot of scare tactics.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is more focus on that than discipleship.
Oh, for sure.
In fundamentalists. But there are people in, you know, Southern Baptist churches, or there are people, even in some like in Reformed churches who are still believe in premillennialism. So
yeah,
it's the most popular view, to be honest. Then we're moving on. Or do you want to say something? You look like you want to say something.
Well, cause I'm looking something up. If I'm not mistaken, the premillennial view is more of a newer view.
So I read this earlier. Because I'm not a premillennialist. So can I read to you? Oh my goodness. I don't know where it went. Maybe I can't. From my Tim LaHaye prophecy study Bible.
Yes, please do.
Hold on.
Tell me what Tim LaHaye says.
I want to, he's
Uncle, can we call him Uncle Timmy? Uncle Timmy?
Uncle Timmy, what does he have to say? Okay. He would say, so a premillennialist would say that the early church was premillennial and expected Christ. Well, hold on. This is where you got to use discernment. And expected Christ to return and establish the throne of David as promised in the Old Testament, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites thought that when Christ came, he would come as a mighty warrior and establish the throne of David, not that he would come as a baby.
Like is that what he servant. Means by when he talks about the early church, the Israelites?
Yeah,
or is he talking about
like the first, like, back in the Old Testament, like,
okay, not early church of like church fathers type,
or even like the first church in Acts,
right? Exactly. Yeah,
right. Nope, he means like back then.
Okay.
He says in time the church departed from premillennialism, though there is some evidence that the teaching lingered for some centuries among certain groups. Premillennialism grew very rapidly during the 20th century.
Yeah.
So I think that's a newer view personally, but he would say that the early church believed in it. So depends on who you ask, as in everything else.
A lot of things.
You Anyways,
yeah.
That's, Tim LaHaye Prophecy the only Study Bible. Okay.
That's the only thing that I was thinking. I was like, isn't this fairly newer?
It's because people argue that dispensationalism is a very,
yes,
like newer.
Yeah.
In relation to the church, a newer thought.
So, right.
And those two are closely identified together.
Yeah.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Millennialism. Cards on the table. This is where I am. It's the view on the end times that the millennial rule and reign of Christ is a real thing, but it doesn't have a time signature. It's not like he's going to come back and there's 1,000 years, not 999, not 1,001. There's 1,000 years. So with the coming of Christ, there's a millennial rule and reign that we're currently living in, and that we use the term, the already, but not yet. And I've used that actually a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is that I believe we are living in the millennial rule and reign of Christ, now, and that will be consummated in the second coming of Jesus. So that language, already and not yet, we would say that Christians presently live in an inaugurated kingdom. And what that means is Jesus inaugurated his kingdom when he came as a baby. So when he came as a baby, he ushered in the kingdom. And so right now, Christ reigns from heaven at the right hand of the Father, right? But we also, so that's the already. That's already happened. But the not yet is that we await the fullness of that kingdom, right? When Christ will reign on earth eternally. So currently, what we would say the inaugurated kingdom, or we could just say this current where we live, we endure tribulation and suffering now, which I think premillennialists will say that, but they also think like how terrible the great tribulation will be, that you'll be raptured up. Mm-hmm. So I think that we live in tribulation and suffering now, but also victory as the gospel spreads, right? As Christ builds his church. And then as we're going to get to in a little bit, when Christ comes back at his second coming, there will be a new heaven and a new earth and eternal rest. So whereas pre-millennialist, most of them view through the lens of dispensationalism, right? Mm-hmm. Most, not all. We view things as covenants, and that Christ made, and that we believe, like I believe my definition for my kids, or if I'm writing curriculum, is that God's covenant is, like a promise that he makes that cannot be broken, because he can't break his promises. Right. And so it's a promise that he made to Israel. So like Abraham, to David, through all the Noah, like all the different covenants that you find in the Old Testament, and that they are fulfilled by Christ in his present age. So Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, when he was buried in a tomb, and when he rose again, he fulfilled all those covenants that he made. He kept his promise and he fulfilled all those covenants. All of the covenants find their rest in the person of Jesus. And so basically, the 1,000 years in Revelations, I would say, just means like an extended period of time during which the gospel is preached in the world. A lot of Revelation is imagery. A lot of it is imagery. A lot of it is, go ahead.
No, and that honestly has been one of the sticking points for me of trying to navigate through this is, it seems to me, that there were some things that, growing up, that I was taught, there were a few things that we took literally in Revelation, but there was a lot that we didn't take literally. And I was like, what's the breaking point? Like, where,
how do you know
who chose that 1,000 years is what we're taking literally, but the three-headed monster with all the eyes and all of this stuff, that's not literal. Like,
I had nightmares why, about that as a kid. Why, like legit nightmares.
Why did we choose which ones like that? You know, as I got older, definitely wasn't something that when I was younger, I thought about and was like, why are we not doing this? Sure. But as I got older and was thinking through, I was like, and that's kind of why
here.
Yeah. That inconsistency mm-hmm. of what is and what isn't.
Yeah. There is a book that I have, and honestly, it's so incredibly deep. I have started it and stopped it like a million times because I have to reread it. You know, it's one of those books. It'll just gonna take me forever to finish, and that's okay. And it's Kingdom Come by Sam Storms. It's also going to be in our show notes. If you just want to look into what is all millennialism at a very deep level, he was a pastor in Oklahoma City. He went to Dallas
Theological,
mm-hmm, DTS, which is very pre-trib. And that's a way easier word to say. I don't know why we don't just say
pre-trib.
That. very pre-trib. And so that's what he was for a very long time. And through a series of events and through studying scripture, the Lord like just kind of opened his eyes to this view. And so he speaks on this topic from a point of, I've been there and I know what this is. She like, mm-hmm. This is where I am. But I'm also, he's like very sympathetic toward all the views. And so if someone's interested in that, I would just recommend him. He's on a lot. One day when I was like prepping for this, I kept sending Kristen like 4 podcast episodes where he talked about eschatology.
And I was like, okay.
I'm like, I know she's never going to listen to this, but it's really good. So you can Google him in your podcast search and you can find it. But
yeah, we're going to include some books and different things. And it's funny because I started to put a book in here and it's a book that I still haven't been able to finish, but I love so far, again, like your Sam Storms one, right? That you have to like continue to reread. But I didn't put it in here because it more dealt with dispensationalism and covenant theology versus specifically
what's it called?
End times. It's called Discontinuity to Continuity. I know I've told you about it.
No, I have it. I've never read it, but I have it.
It's really good. So I would, if that side of it interests you, because it is, they are closely related, and that's the hard thing to separate those out. Yeah. Because these are thoughts of, it's a survey of dispensational and covenantal theologies. So it's mm-hmm. how you're approaching theology. And so that's going to color a lot of how you interpret all these doctrines, mm-hmm. but specifically these end times, like this end time doctrine.
Yeah.
Whether you kind of believe more of a dispensational theology or covenantal theology is really going to affect how you view the end times. So yeah. I'll put that in there. I know I've heard from other people that it's a really good book. I've read probably about a little over a fourth of it, and it's really, really great. It basically goes through and presents all the, like, each position. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a good view of each position. It's really good. And so I would definitely encourage that one. I'll put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't really touched those two things yet, honestly.
Right.
Not that we won't ever do that, because there are some other like tertiary issues that I would love for us to mm-hmm. talk about. But not yet.
Not
yet. We gotta finish this series. Okay, that was amillennialism. Man. Okay. So we're heading into the last one. So pre-trib. Premillennialism.
Amillennialism.
And then this last one is postmillennialism. And I'll let you, if you want to kind of tease this out. I do want to say these are kind of closely related, honestly. I am not a postmillennialist, but Sam Storms actually made this comment and I was like, I can see it. Some have referred to amillennialism as pessimistic postmillennialism. So it's like the same thing, just a negative view. And then that postmillennialism is an optimistic amillennialism. So I thought that was interesting. I think that's something to kind of keep in your tool belt when you're looking at the two, to kind of mm-hmm. say, like, what is my view on this? Am I looking through a clear lens? Am I looking through it, you know? So Kristen, what is postmillennialism?
Yeah, so you're a postmillennial. Is this like a...
You might be a redneck.
That's exactly what I thought of. You might be a redneck.
As soon as you started laughing, I knew where you were going.
I'm sorry, friends. All right. So post-millennial would say that Jesus will return after the millennium, after the world has been successfully evangelized. So that's a key point, right? That the world has been completely evangelized, and that's when Jesus will return. Again, this is the optimistic amillennial, right? Like, the gospel will sustain a positive influence in every sphere of society. Things such as economic, political, cultural life will be vastly improved. Everything's kind of going on an upward trend, right? Like, it's getting better. This triumph or victory of the church in the present age is not just spiritual or invisible victories in the heart, in the Christian's heart, or the internal blessings privately experienced by the church, right? It's going to be more of a visible prosperity. Yeah,
you can see it on
and publicly acknowledged, right? So, like, again, like we said before, that the gospel sustains a positive influence in every sphere of society, is what that post-millennial view would see. Every domain of human activity will be renewed according to Christian principles and brought into service for the glory of Christ. Christ will return to a truly Christianized world, would be.
That blows my mind. That's really hard to for me to imagine.
Especially when you look around at the world now, you're like, ooh, how does that jive with what you see now?
At the end of this present age, right? At the end of what we are right now, after the kingdom, God's kingdom has spread visibly and powerfully throughout the world. But just before Christ returns, there will be a brief time of increased satanic activity and apostasy. So everything's going great. The gospel is spreading, like everyone can see it. And then right before Christ returns, like things get real dark real fast. And that final rebellion is where Christ comes and completely crushes Satan, right? And then right after that, right after Christ returns and wins the battle, I guess is how you would say it, there will immediately follow a resurrection, a final judgment, and then the eternal state. I don't know if that makes sense to me, but that's what they believe.
I was just thinking through, because the statement that we had just made of like looking at this world, it's hard to believe that it would be getting better, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess one could make the argument that we may be in that brief time of increased satanic activity and apostasy, right? That like, that is like, we had seen I don't know if you could say the entire world being evangelized, but you had seen quite a bit of a difference where Christian morals and ethics and things like that were prevalent in a lot of different places. At least if we think just Westernly, right? Can if we think of just the Western church.
Well, can we go on a tangent? Can we put a pin on this? Put a pin on this. Hold on. No, I'm going to finish this last point. And then I have a thought. In short, to wrap up postmillennialism, it's just what separates that from like the other two, pre and amillennialism, is the essential optimism for the kingdom in this present age. Mm-hmm. So there's just optimism that the church is going to grow, and Christ will grow his church, right? But that's, it's in every sphere, and that it is noticeably done. Okay. Here's my thought. I wonder, because I think of, like, I was just talking to someone the other day, some missionary friends of mine who are in the Middle East in a very dark area. And there is just time and time and time again, stories coming out of like Muslims specifically, having dreams, right? They're dreaming dreams. and that Jesus is talking to them in their dreams. And because of that, there is conversion, and not only conversion, but then they're converting their family, because that's how they do, you know, like they're very family centric. They're converting their family, and then they're starting churches, like underground churches. And so there is this idea of the gospel going forth with or without human hands, right? Like I've had family members who have passed away who are non-believers, and I have just prayed, God, give them dreams. In their comatose state, give them dreams. And that's kind of my hope when you don't know someone's eternal, you know, destiny, I guess. But I wonder, not wonder, I believe that this has always been the case, but with social media and the way information spreads so quickly, we're just like, we have more information and more stories. And so it seems more prevalent, to me, which also goes back to what you just said of one could argue that we're currently in a brief time. Right. But then in God's eyes, welcome to my philosophical brain at the moment, which never happens. Ask my husband, never happens. Like, what is time in relation to God? Because if you were going to ask me, is Christ's return like imminent? Well, we don't know. Like, practically speaking, we don't know. But I think Christ's return has been imminent since he came as a baby and he ascended into heaven. Like, so. I don't know, philosophical thoughts with Shana on a Thursday night at 11, because you're thinking of this, but like, who's to say that it hasn't always kind of been this way? We just have easier access to information, right?
And then even my statement there was a very westernized viewpoint of it, right? I'm looking just through the lens of what's happening here in America, truly. Discounting what's happening in Africa, what could be happening in the Middle East, what could be happening, you know, all over the world. It's just a very narrow viewpoint, which I find myself doing very often.
Well, I think that's just easy for us to do.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, it's just, this one's a little harder to swallow in my opinion, the post-millennial,
but it is out there. And I know people, who kind of teeter between the two.
Yeah.
Like amillennialism or postmillennialism. So it's kind of like, it's harder for me too. That's why I'm like, you can call it an optimistic amillennialism, but I don't see that.
I still don't see it.
The one thing. But
we're both going to go and transition to the same thing.
We are. I was so just going to say. I'll let you take it. Well, I was just going to say that this is not like, if we're doing theological triage, like this is not a firsthand issue.
No, nope.
Like we love our brothers and sisters. And in the end, we will all be together in the new heavens and the new earth. Right. So there's some things that we can agree on.
Right. I was going to say, because all three positions, four positions, however many positions, as far as we know, you know, all the positions that we've talked about so far, there are things that they have in common and that they can agree on, right? We can agree, no matter what position you land on, we can agree that Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. Scripture's clear. We can agree that there will be a bodily resurrection. And we can agree that he will make all things new. Again, the timing of things, the tribulation aspect, the what are we going to go through? What are we not going to go through? We try as much as we can to ascertain that and study that and try to come to the right conclusion, right? But ultimately, the timing aspect, we don't know, right? Like we aren't going to know.
And I also wonder how much of this is through Western eyes as well. Because we like to know where things are going. We like to know a plan. We like to know what to expect.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, if our brothers and sisters in the Middle East or in Africa or whatever, like, if this type of idea, they're like, man, God's going to come back.
Right.
And like, that's what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And my mom or dad who loved and trusted Jesus is going to raise up out of that ground. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And then he's going to make all things new and I'm going to enjoy this life with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just things that make Shanna and Kristen go, Okay. That's the end times. But wait, there's more. There's good news. There's good news. The consummation of all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I said at the beginning that from the moment of creation, the world was headed to consummation, right? And so we believe, like we just said, that Jesus Christ is returning to the world. So before we started recording, Kristen made a great point of within all of this. I know those the look she's given me.
I did.
You did. Within, it's worthy to note that you were going to say, and you can talk more about this if you want to, but within this holding, I'm holding my hands out of the end times, you have different views of hell, different views of heaven.
Yes.
And you were saying, you know, go ahead. What were you saying about that?
No, that it's worth also saying that, like, when we talk about the end times, it's not just these things, right? There's other things kind of into it and that play into it. So your view of hell, is it a literal hell? Is it, you know, is it just a separation from God is the hell aspect of it? Is it a lake of fire? Is it, you know, I know I always thought it was a lake of fire.
I was terrified.
Heaven, is it a place that you go to? Is it a place that is going to be established here on earth? Like all of those things go into that, right? And it's something that we even talked about, like we couldn't add it into this episode because it would be forever long. And we're long-winded as it is. You all know that. You see how long our podcast episodes are. We need nothing more to help us go long. So
you got our baseball conversation at the beginning.
we said that it would be something that we would love to dive into at a later date and kind of tease through some of that stuff and figure out where we each land on it and kind of discuss that. But I think I think it's important to point out there are other things to this. We're just picking out kind of two big important things for the overview aspect of it.
And the reason I wanted to kind of insert that in there is because when I wrote this, it was through the lens of what I believe is that we're not going to heaven. Heaven's coming down to us. I believe that Jesus is going to completely give us a new heaven and a new earth, right? That he is coming to earth to rule and reign and everything is going to be made new and like it's supposed to be. And so that's why I put that there. Cause like, as you said that, I was like, well, I wrote this through a different lens. So caveat there. but yes, consummation. We believe that Jesus Christ is returning to the world in the future to judge the living and the dead. And the consummation of all things, which is physical, visible, personal, is the glorious return of Jesus, like in the body, the resurrection of the dead and the glorification of those alive in Christ. All of this will be the fulfillment of Christ's kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. So part of that would be Satan and his hosts and all those outside of Christ is separated from the presence of God, enduring eternal punishment. But the righteous will live and reign with him forever, serving him and giving him unending praise and glory. And so back to the hell thing, I remember being as a kid, like terrified of the lake of fire. There's little chick tracks where they, it was like, this was your life or whatever. Person. Remember that one? And it had them like in the lake of fire and all the arms going and had like roaches eating their eyeballs or whatever. It was terrible. And as a kid, I remember being terrified. And so I try really hard. You know what I would like to do? We should have a episode on like kids being theologians or like discipleship. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pin in that. Anyway, what made me think that is because if you were to ask my kids, what is hell or what is the worst part for those who do not love and trust Jesus, their answer will not be a lake of fire. Their answer would be separation from Christ, mm-hmm. separation from God forever. That's eternal torture. And so we believe that the consummation is like the eager man, I'm so eager, expectation of creation will be fulfilled and that the whole earth will proclaim the glory of God who makes all things new. And so consummation is short, right? It's just God coming to eradicate sin and all the effects of sin and to cast out Satan and his demons and those who mm-hmm. are apart from him, and then to set up his eternal kingdom in a new heaven and a new earth. And so, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you covered it really well. It was the shortest part of it.
It was the shortest part of it, but it's also so beautiful.
It is.
And what we long for.
And I think it's no secret that Shanna is the writer between the two of us. And so she does the bulk of the writing of our notes. And every once in a while, I'll throw things in there and I'm like, fit it in wherever you want. And she hates me for it, but
I could never hate you. You may get an eye roll, but I could never hate you.
When she opens the notes and she's like, Kristen added something, dadgummit. Anyways, I do think it's this conclusion that you wrote is really great, and a really great way of focusing us back on it's so easy. When you're studying Revelation and eschatology and things like that, to lose sight of the call of Christ in Revelation, right? That that we are to live victoriously as overcomers of sin, the world, and the devil, and to remain faithful to him at all costs, because he will make all things right in the end, right? We tend to lose sight of the forest for the trees, right? Is that mm-hmm. the saying of you lose sight of the forest through the trees? That you get so focused on this one thing that you lose sight of kind of the bigger picture, if you will, mm-hmm. And what we're called to live and how we're called to live through this. And it doesn't matter whatever view a person might think best reflects the teaching of Scripture. And we're going to mm-hmm. say again, go to Scripture first, mm-hmm. study Scripture first. It's hard. It is tough. Revelation is a very, very difficult thing. Honestly, it's probably one of the reasons I haven't quite delved into it yet, is because I'm like, I just don't know if I'm
especially
ready yet.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're looking through it through the lens of like already conceived ideas that you were taught.
Yes.
It's really hard to separate that out. It's really hard.
So no matter what view you might think best reflects the teaching of Scripture, we always have to keep in mind that Scripture presents the doctrine of last things as a motivation for faithful living. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, is mm-hmm. that we don't lose track of and get distracted by these things of trying to figure out what the future holds and mm-hmm. forgetting what we're called to live today. And like how we're called to live today
right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elizabeth Whitson, who was on our podcast last season. She always says, keep the main thing, the main thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel that deeply when it comes to this, because the main thing is Christ and seeing him as most valuable, seeing, and like following his commands, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing that at the end, he's going to make all things new, and right. we all going to have different views of how we get there, but we're all going to get there. Right. And so keeping the main thing, I keep hearing that in my head as I was like studying this. It was like, man, the main thing's Christ. The main thing is not a tribulation. The main thing is not the Antichrist. The main thing is Christ. And we can get really caught up and spend a lot of energy and a lot of debates on these things. And honestly, Kristen, a lot of like fear mongering and a lot of fearful, like people are living like believers who have been given authority in Christ are living fearfully nowadays because of things like this, because this is just how the mark of the beast is coming or whatever. And I'm like, right. that's not the main thing.
Yeah. Constantly looking for signs of, is this the tribulation? Is this happening? Is that happening? And there's Matt and I know we're talking about this in a different capacity, but we were saying there's a fine line between preparation and having eyes wide open and being consumed by something and not being able to then fulfill your daily life. And because you're so consumed by this other thing, we're not saying to be unwise or to be just like,
well, whatever.
It's like flippant. I can't think of the words. Like flippant about it, or just like, oh, whatever happens, happens type thing. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're encouraging at all. But it's just a fine line of going in with your eyes closed and like, or sticking your head in the sand. I guess maybe that is a good analogy like sticking your head in the sand and just being like, nope, I'm not going to worry about anything. It's just, it is what it is. Like, I don't think that's the right response either. But I also don't think that the right response is to get so caught up in living in fear or so caught up in trying to get people to believe the way you do or whatever it might be, that you lose sight of what you're supposed to be living day in and day out.
The missional living that we're called to.
And the responsibilities that God has given you, because each person has been given responsibilities, whether it be within their family or within their job or, you know, the people that God has placed in your life, the responsibility that you have to live well with them and
to steward that relationship with your neighbors. Yes. Yeah. And to remember that, God has given you authority and he has given you freedom. But it's through Christ that you've been given those things. And I think that's always helpful to me, is to remember, like, if COVID was really hard and like a lot of people was like, this is the end times, guys. This is it. I'm like, man, like it can be really easy to focus on that, but I'm like, man, I know the one who's in control of all of it. And so I am going to not put my head in the sand, but put my head down and focus on the people here. Let me love the people here. Let me encourage and point them to Christ, knowing that Christ has it all under control. Like, that's a different thing than just saying everything's great and everything's fine, or everything is terrible. Okay. That was a great rabbit trail. hey, I like this, because you and I haven't really talked about this. So it was also two friends having a conversation about the end times.
I know. How fun.
How fun. But that does end our doctrine series. And so we have to stay tuned for what's next for Growing Grace.
You know why? Because even we aren't sure.
Because we don't know yet.
We got 2 weeks to figure it out.
I have a really great guest coming up in July, beginning of August. I don't remember, but I'm really excited about it. August and with that will come giveaways, book giveaways, and things like that. So,
All right, friend. We were even talking about that, about having a couple interviews, you know, getting those set up. And series are good and fun and give us structure, which is good. But I think we're ready for something not quite so structured either. Mm-hmm. So.
You know, it'd be fun to do.
What?
It's not midnight for you or anything. We should do a Q&A sometime for people who maybe have questions.
I love it.
I love it. I just threw that on you. So
I heard from someone, last week or so, that had sent me a message about our podcast and how they were going back and listening back to some of them, and how specifically, I think she was listening to one of our Advent series, and how appreciative she was of it. And so that was really cool to be able to hear. And we love hearing
We do. Yeah. It's encouraging to know or to remember that different episodes can affect you at different stages of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. And so that it brought tears to my eyes when you sent that to me. It was so incredibly encouraging. So if you have a story like that, we would love to hear it, because it encourages us to keep pressing forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we're not just talking to the void.
Yes. We're talking to each other. Also a void.
That's true.
Hey, have fun at your game, and let me know that you survive that crazy madness.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be so crazy. I'm already dreading it, and I'm not even the one that's gonna be driving downtown. We're going down with my parents. We're making my parents drive us down there.
Okay. Well, but Bill and Cindy, have a great time.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Anyways,
all right, friend.
Well, this time you're going to let me say it. She's staying quiet. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.